I'm not sure about these preachers that can sing, are y'all? They worry me a little. Well, Merry Christmas to all, and our auditorium looks beautiful, doesn't it? Christmas is always a fun time of year because of the celebration that it brings, and yet there are those like Kathy's family who this Christmas will be a little different, and many of us will miss Jean, and I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that service. Brother G. Dale Norfolk, our longest tenured pastor, will be here that day. And Gene Rowden was on the pulpit committee that brought Brother G. Dale and served as a deacon here, a trustee, a Sunday school teacher, lots of things. So hope you'll come and celebrate his passing with us, and we as a church grieve his loss today. As we think about Christmas, there are words that come to mind. Words like joy, and peace, and gladness, and cheer, and gifts, and merry. All of those words come out of John 3:16, which is the reason that the Christ child came. I wonder what that day looked like when Jesus came to earth. I wonder what it looked like in heaven. We imagine Christmas being a gleeful, joyful time, but here the Son of God had been throughout all of eternity, and he had sat next to his Father for all eternity, and the day had come that he would come to earth to be the sacrifice for you and I today. I'm not sure gladness, joy, and merry Christmas were on that side of heaven. For you see, the joy, the gladness, the merry, the cheer all comes to us because of what Christ did for us, that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. He stepped out of heaven to come to earth to pay the price for our sins that we might have everlasting life. And we celebrate Christmas as the time that that babe came to earth, that God manifested himself in the flesh. Now, I don't wish to take away the joy of Christmas. I think for us, that's tremendous joy, great joy. But remember, it was from the cradle to the cross. It was not just the cradle. But remember also, it was just not from the cradle to the cross, but to the resurrection. Amen? And today, that's where our joy comes from, is that Christ overcame death, hell, sin in the grave. I'm a bit of a baseball fan. I love baseball, and this year it was fun for me. I know some of you are going to boo. It was fun for me to see the Cubs win the World Series. That's all right, get it out of your systems. There were two teams when I was a child growing up that I would turn my radio on and listen to, and I was supposed to be asleep, but I would take that old clock radio, which some of you still remember, mine was green and about that long, about as big as a cracker box, and I would set it down on my mattress against the headboard and put my pillow over it, and I would lay my head on it, and I could listen to one of two games. I could either listen to the Cubs or I could listen to the Cardinals, depending on who was playing that night, and it had a little dial on it that you set for 60 minutes. That radio would play for 60 minutes, and I would set that little dial, and it would go off whenever that 60 minutes was up, because I would be sound asleep to the sounds of baseball. So I grew up loving baseball, and it was fun for me this year to see a team that hadn't won in lots of years to win it. They had a player on their team. As a matter of fact, he was the most valuable player this year. His name was Ben Zobrist. And Ben is a Christian, a strong Christian. He has two World Series rings, actually. But he had a quote that I love, and here it is. Baseball is a great game, and we have a lot of fun out here. And it's a great job to have. But the bottom line is, it can't be God. You know, there are lots of people in our world today that have the misconception of other things that are great in life that God has blessed us with, but they have become too important. They have forgotten that which God has given to us as the principal things of life. And the truth of the matter is, one day, all of us are going to stand accountable before the Lord, no matter how young we are, old we are, sick we are, healthy we are, no matter which cream we put on our face, no matter what vitamin we take, no matter what diet we go on, we are going to die, every one of us. And for the Christian, that's not something to get long-faced about. That's something to say, oh, goody. Right? This week, I got to watch and be a part of a man who said, oh, goody, I get to go. More than once, he had woke up with tears in his eyes because he woke up. He didn't want to. He wanted to go to heaven. What on the earth would make someone desire death so much that they would long for it and look for it when most of us are avoiding it, me included? Well, what happens is, whenever the other side appears so much better than this side, and the other side is a reality for us, then we long for those things that are the reality that we have in the future. The messianic hope of Jesus was much like that. The Jews had been in bondage. They had been in and out of God's will all of their existence. They knew they were God's chosen people, but they had disappointed him time and time again. And Isaiah, some 740 years, you hear me? That are the reality that we have in the future. The messianic hope of Jesus was much like that. The Jews had been in bondage. They had been in and out of God's will all of their existence. They knew they were God's chosen people, but they had disappointed him time and time again. And Isaiah, some 740 years. You hear me? 740 years. That's longer than it has been since Christopher Columbus came over here. 740 years before the coming of the Messiah, he made the prophecies, many of which are in your bulletin insert today. I printed that so you could have them. Side by side are the prophecies and the fulfillments. And that's just a few of the prophecies and the fulfillments. I printed that so that this Christmas you could celebrate the prophecies being fulfilled. Our God does what he says he's going to do. Amen? And he doesn't care how it changes. I'm sure bondage looked completely different to the Israelite than it did when Jesus came. But he promised that he was sending his son. And he promised it 750 years before it materialized. Here's what he said. Chapter 42, Isaiah. Listen. Behold my servant who I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. God promises that Jesus, the Messiah, is coming for Israel. He promises that they have hope, they have purpose, they have meaning. He's bringing healing. His voice won't be loud and boisterous. He won't be overbearing. He won't crush those who are being persecuted or who are weak. He won't forget those who are sick and those who are without. But he says he will bring justice to all. That justice to all is the gospel. It's the great hope. You remember on the Judean hill, I love to quote the angel, because in that angel's quote wraps up the total message of the gospel. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Today I want to say to the world, fear not, don't be afraid of God's word. Don't be afraid of the principles of God. Don't be afraid of the precepts of God. For behold, they bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The universality that the Messiah would usher in would be unprecedented for the Jew. For they thought they were elitist. They thought they were alone. They thought they were the only ones. They thought they were the only deserving. They believed they were God's chosen, and the rest were left out. My friends, but what they discovered in the ushering in of the Messiah, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, God in the flesh coming to earth, was that he loved all mankind. Joy to the world. For a Savior is born, not just to the Jew, not just to the wealthy, not just to the white, not just to Americans, but to the world. Joy to the world. Peace, gladness, cheer, Merry Christmas to all the world, because a Savior is born. And those shepherds said something after that great announcement that each of us should say. They looked at one another and they said, let's go see this thing. Man, they didn't even know what it was. They weren't even sure what they were going to find. But they said, let's go see it. Let's risk leaving the sheep. And let's go see this angelic announcement that came to us. And so, as you know the story, they made their way to Bethlehem. And there they found the babe and his mother and his earthly father in a manger. And he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. All around the creation and the humble surroundings of a barn, there the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would come. A picture of receiving all the world. It seems almost beyond belief that God would send his son to a barn, but he did. You see, the picture that anyone could approach a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, could have sent him as a man, could have sent him as a fully grown, but he chose to send him as an infant. You ever notice that in hospitals, one of the most popular places is where the new babies are? People tap on the door, they put their hands, they smudge their face against it. And I can't tell you the number of times I've kind of made it a thing that I do now. When I walk by and I see somebody, I say, which one's yours? And do you know about half the time what they tell me? Oh, none of them's mine. I just like to look at them. I just like to come and look at them. Who doesn't love a baby? I mean, whether you think they're beautiful or not, they're kind of, you know, like a Shar Pei. They're just lovable, aren't they? They're all wrinkled in the right places, and they just look cute. And you want to hug them. And you want to smell them. And you just some days want to eat them up. And about the time they're 15, you wish you had them. You understand why tigers eat their young. Well, that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes was more than just a picture of innocence. For he wasn't innocent. He was more than the picture of gentle, because he wasn't always gentle. He was more than the picture of adorable and lovable and huggable, because there were times that he wasn't. But what he was God incarnate in the flesh, come to do that which Isaiah had prophesied 500 years before, nearly. My chosen one, in whom my soul delights, God says. I have put my spirit upon him. You remember when Jesus went to John the Baptist to be baptized, and John said, wait, I'm unworthy to unlatch your shoelaces. And remember what Jesus told John? John, suffer it to be so. In other words, allow this to happen. And John baptized Jesus, and what was the very next thing you recall? A dove descended from heaven, and a voice appeared that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." He hadn't gone to the cross yet. He hadn't even started his earthly ministry yet. Children, listen to me. Jesus hadn't done anything of significance except grow up as a child. And God saw his obedience in the innocence of a young man growing up, realizing it's time to drive the peg in the carpenter shop. It's time to set aside that which the world would say is important, and to say to his mother, "I must go. I must be about my Father's business." And he picked up the mantle that God had for him, and his life began to walk a different direction. His life became not his own, but the Spirit of God indwelling in him, and it led him to places that he would bring forth justice to all nations. His voice would not cry out, would not be loud, would not be boisterous. He would not be a politician. He would not run for office. He would not necessarily be popular or well-liked. He would walk through the world courageously teaching and living that which his Father had taught him to do. That which the Spirit of God made him. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. You know, I can't help but think of those two things, and I think of the woman caught in adultery who was brought before Jesus and thrown down. And they looked at him and said, "Moses said we should stone her. What do you say?" Now, this wasn't just anybody. These were the leaders, the religious leaders in Jerusalem at that day. These were the pillars of their faith. And they brought her to demonstrate the authority and the power of God's word before this imitator, this blasphemer. And when they threw her at Jesus' feet, they found something they did not expect. They found something they didn't know much about. They found mercy. He never once said she wasn't guilty. He never once defended her. He never once made excuse for her. He never once passed the blame to the way she was raised or that she only had a mother or father. He never once blamed the society in which she lived in, the neighborhood that she grew up. He blamed those that accused her. And he said, after he had doodled in the ground, "You are without sin. You pass the judgment. You crucify her. You stone her. You demonstrate your superior righteousness over her." The Bible says the crowd dispersed, the oldest first to the youngest. She was a broken reed. She was a dimly lit life. Her life had very little meaning. There was not much hope. He could have crushed her. But this Savior that we worship this Sunday, this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes who came to bring joy and good news and peace and glad tidings to all men, said to her, "Where are thine accusers?" Now, church, don't miss it this morning. The message is simple. Just like that woman caught in adultery, Jesus looks to you and I today. And she says, he says, where are your accusers? Now don't be mistaken, you're guilty. She was guilty. Don't be mistaken, you're guilty. But he says, you have no accusers, there's none that matter. No one in this judgment of this world matters. For you see, there's only one who matters. And neither do I condemn you. But I give you grace. I offer you forgiveness. I offer you peace. I offer you gladness. I offer you a new way of life. And today in our world, we have a hope, a message of promise that says, no matter how downtrodden, no matter how broken, no matter how far in sin you may think you may be, no matter how depressed, no matter how discouraged, no matter how low your esteem in life, there is one who loves you supremely, who gave his life for you that you might have life, everlasting life. And his name is Emmanuel. His name is Counselor. His name is Mighty God. His name is Wonderful. His name is Jesus. Oh, today the joy of Christmas, the gift giving, comes from God giving his only Son. The joy that we share comes from the hope of salvation for all of us. Even though we were yet sinners, in and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and brought to us the hope and the joy. Oh, even for those who think they don't merit, even those who believe they're unworthy. For you see, he brought salvation not only to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13 says, shall be saved. Everyone. It's not my will that any should perish, but all shall come to salvation. That good news that the angel heralded on that Galilean Judean hill that day was good news for you and I today. Good news for our world. Good news for a troubled society. For in the good news there is hope. For he will not crush the broken. He will not crush the dimly burning wick. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened, and he will not be defeated. All the Romans were great calculators. They kept great record of time. They were very meticulous in their judgment, but they met a match when they brought before Pilate Jesus, and he didn't know what to do with him. And so he turned them over to the people. And the Bible says that when he turned them over to the people hollered, crucify him, kill him, give us Barabbas. And Jesus could have easily been defeated. But he rose above the pain, the persecution, the agony, what would have been defeat, and he crushed death at its very core. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. This morning, my message to you is, put your life in the hands of the man who can make the difference. Don't care where you are. Don't care how bad shape you're in. Don't care what's going to happen to you. Don't care where you're headed. Don't care what diagnosis is coming. Don't care anything about the circumstances of this life. As for me, give me Jesus. I want to be in the hands of my Heavenly Father. Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. Now what that means is, doesn't mean he killed himself. I heard a preacher on the radio today describing this. Doesn't mean that he killed himself. He surrendered his spirit into the lordship of the Father. And you know what God said? I'm going to take him out of that misery. And he took him out. And his spirit and God's spirit came together. And Jesus, as we understand it, physically died. They checked him. He was dead. They buried him. He laid in the tomb for 3 days. But on the morning of the third day, victory had been won. The Bible says he went into the very depths of the earth. I believe that means he went into the very depths of hell. I believe he went to hell and he preached those that were captive there. I believe he carried my sin there. I believe he unloaded my sin there. And I believe when he came out of the grave, he burst the chains of death, hell, sin, and the grave, because sin and death could not hold him, because there was no sin in him. And he broke the chains and forever defeated that which you and I fear the very most today. He defeated death to the point that David cried, "O death, where is thy sting?" I'll tell you something. I have stood by the dying bed of many saints in my life. And I'm going to tell you, there is no sting of death for them. I have sat by the dying bed of some that the death of sting was there. And it was horrific. And it was horrible to watch. But never have I seen a believer agonize and struggle at the point of death. I've seen them sing. I've seen them sit up. I've seen them reach. I've seen them call out Jesus' name. I've watched them quietly pass into eternity. But there is no sting of death. David had it right. The sting of death was defeated for those who believe at the cross of Calvary. And death no longer had any victory. You say, "Preacher, you're not scared of death?" Well, I'm not scared to die. Got a home in heaven. Just not homesick yet. Not done. I'm ready to see my, seven grandsons that Tamara's going to give me. They're all going to be preachers. You remember? Sure. She does too. She's just being stubborn. Got some things in this life I want to see. I'm not done yet. And God says there's a time and there's a time and a season for all things. You remember? And there's going to come a time in my life where it's going to be the time for me to pass. And I pray that when that time comes, that I don't go out kicking and screaming. I pray that I go out looking for the face of my Savior. Looking to open my eyes in eternity and there to see Jesus. This morning when I got out of bed and got ready for this message, I got up early, earlier than normal. Not early for many of you, but early for me. And I began reading. And I thought today as I was reading, tomorrow is my mother's birthday, and I dearly love my mother, dearly love my dad too, but I dearly love my mother. And I thought, tomorrow's her birthday. I bet today she's meeting Gene Rowden. I wonder what he's telling her about me. I have no idea what heaven's like, folks. Bible says you can't even imagine it's so wonderful. But I know this much. There's some good folks there. There's some good folks there. And I can't wait to see them. And Jesus promises that one that we'll see will be him. And I'll get to see him and thank him and touch him and know him and understand him, and I will be like him. And the Bible says some 740 years before he came, he will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth. And all the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. And today, we wait for his coming again. LP sang it just a minute ago. He's coming again. And we need to be waiting. And those who know him will wait anxiously. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we're not to sorrow as those that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then we can expect that one day he will come again to receive us unto himself. There's going to be a trumpet sound. There's going to be an explosion in the sky, and all those who know him are going to go meet him. The dead first, and then the rest of us are going out. Oh, what a glorious day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, for he saved me by his grace. This morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, don't miss the joy of Christmas. Don't miss the meaning of Christmas. The joy is the joy of knowing Christ. The Mary is the contented heart that lives in you. The goodwill to all men is letting everyone know the gospel's for them. No one is excluded. Everybody gets a shot. Peace on earth describes the time that he will rule and reign in our heart. Merry Christmas. A Savior, Emmanuel, is born. If you don't know him this morning, I encourage you, turn your heart to him. Confess your life and sin to him and ask him to come and redeem you, save you, take you unto himself. You know, the thief on the cross didn't know what to say. He just knew that he was hanging by something very special. He didn't pray the sinner's prayer. He didn't pray a prayer of repentance. He just cried out and said, "Remember me. Don't forget me." It required Jesus to look into the inner recesses of his heart. And there, Jesus promised him, "This day, today, you shall be with me in paradise." What a joy it must have been for that thief. What a relief it must have been. And folks, today you can know that same relief. You can know that same peace. You can know that same joy that says, when my time is finished, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. Because my Redeemer liveth. He lives within my heart. Let's pray together. Father, I pray today, Lord, we do have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be cheerful about. Lord, we have so much joy to spread peace and good tidings all over the earth. Lord, help us not forget what the main thing is, that Jesus is the reason for this season. Lord, as Ben Zobrist reminded us, there is lots of life that's good, it's wonderful, it's fun, it's great, it's powerful, it's exciting, it's prestigious, but it is not God. Lord, help us to put our faith, our trust, our love, our commitment in you. And Lord, let us begin today by giving our hearts and life to a Savior who loved us so much that even while we were yet sinners, he willingly went to the cross and carried our burdens through death, hell, sin, and the grave. Oh, Jesus, how we love you today. How we thank you for what you've done. Lord, speak to us today. May your Spirit be poured out upon us. May we feel your presence. May we know your touch. And may we praise you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. If you have a decision in your heart and life this morning you'd like to make, you come as we sing.
I need every hour, most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine.
here. Thankful that you're here today. Hope you'll come back and be with us. That opportunity may be this evening in our evening worship service. We have discipleship training at 5 o'clock. I teach a class right over here. There are other classes available to you. We have things for the kids, so bring those. And then tonight, we also have worship time, so you come at 6 o'clock and be with us. We'll hope that you'll be here with us. Remember, we have lattes for Lottie, and that includes just regular black coffee, you know. If God wanted anything in coffee, he'd have put it in the bean, amen? Well, that's not true, but I've heard it said. So however you like it, those girls are happy to serve you. They're excited about it. All of the money goes to Lottie Moon, which in turn, all of that money goes straight to the missionaries. None of it is caught up in administration, and so that's a wonderful offering that we've given for many years. So I hope you'll participate in that. Hope you come back and be with us today. God bless you. Pray for those who have needs all across our world, and there are many in that situation. Now let's pray together, have a word of prayer together as we dismiss. I'm going to ask Brother Don Forbes, if you would lead us, please, sir, as we're dismissed this morning.